Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and I'm your host for these Bible study podcasts. Today, we're continuing with our review of the key principles of effective Bible study based on a booklet of the same name available on our podcast page at biblestudy.asbzone.com. This podcast is inspired by the following Bible verse. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If you've been following this series for a while, you know what our purpose is here. But if this is your first time, although we recommend that you start at the beginning, the goal of this series is to help you obtain greater value from your Bible study and devotional sessions. These episodes are about 15 to 20 minutes each, and they are focused on key principles that God teaches us through His Word. Most people know that Bible study is essential to the Christian experience, and many people realize that without prayer, Bible study is futile and unproductive. But there are other less known principles that the Scriptures also teach us, and our goal in this series is to present them to you. These will help you to see God's Word in a more expansive way, and will assist you in becoming just like the noble Bereans of Acts 17:10 through 12. Today's study is entitled, Choosing a Bible Translation for Study Purposes. But before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the work you've done in protecting it over the long history. And we ask you as we get into this study that you'll help us to present it in a way that will bring glory and honor to your name. We pray that you'll give us wisdom and understanding that we'll rightly divide your words of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, choosing a Bible translation for study purposes. This is always a touchy subject, and so we're presenting this from what we have learned and how we have been blessed. This isn't a principle per se, but it does help. There are many, many translations available today, but they are not all equal when it comes to deep study of the Scriptures. The following external articles are provided to aid the diligent student in understanding why there are so many Bible translations available and how they compare with one another. Most Bible students find that using a small collection of translations is best, even if they have a favorite translation. In the resource, we have provided three links. You'll see five links in total, but the fact is it's three links. There is a link to the original where we obtained the information, and we have stored a copy of that original in PDF form just in case that original is lost. And they cover several things. The Faithful Witness, this is from Amazing Facts, not likely to be lost at all, but still there's a PDF version if you want it to be more portable. There's another link. What's the difference between versions of the Bible? That's a deep one. There's a lot of information that you need to see. And then there's a last one, translation comparison charts. It explains how different translations work. So there are word-for-word translations, there are thought-for-thought translations, and there are paraphrases. A paraphrase, like the Clear Word, or the Message Bible, or some of these others, are where a person or a group of people basically give you their thoughts on what a verse says, right? It's not exactly a commentary, but it's written in everyday language, and each verse is presented in a profound way, but with no real connection to any of the other verses, right? When people are doing a translation, a thought for thought, they're going to structure the Bible differently than when they're just doing a paraphrase. Because a paraphrase is going to be you doing a sentence, you know, you hear my sentence, and then you say the appropriate sentence in a different language. Think about when someone is preaching and someone is translating for them. So someone is preaching in, say, Spanish, and someone is translating it from Spanish to English. They don't know the sermon. They're listening to the person and they're saying a sentence, and whatever that sentence is, they're going to translate it into the appropriate language, whether it's English to Spanish or Spanish to English, doesn't matter. The principle is the same. And as they go through the sermon, if you were to look at a transcript of the original sermon in its original language, you would notice a pattern in the way phrases are presented and in certain ways that sentences were constructed that's not present in the translated one, because it's just sentence A, here's what that translates to, sentence B, here's what that translates to, etc. and so on. So a paraphrase Bible may be good for your devotions, it may be good for learning the stories of the Bible, etc., but it's not good for deep study, particularly prophetic study. Because when you look at how Moses writes, how David writes, how Daniel wrote, how Paul writes, there's a flow to how they write, how Luke writes. There's a flow to how they write. And that flow will be lost by someone just catching each sentence and translating it into the appropriate language. I'm not suggesting that they'll be saying incorrect things, but there's certain patterns that show up in the way that Luke writes or in the way that Moses writes. Here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at prophecy, because this is where the distinction breaks down particularly. We're going to look at prophecy, and we're going to compare the King James Version with the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, okay? The Living Bible. And we're going to go to Daniel 9, 24 through 27. Here is what the King James Version says, Daniel 9, 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's the King James. Now, sure, that some of that sounds hard, and it didn't help with the age of the English. But here's what it says in the Living Bible. Okay, easier English, but not so good. The Lord has commanded 490 years of further punishment upon Jerusalem and your people. Then at last they will learn to stay away from sin, and their guilt will be cleansed. Then the kingdom of everlasting righteousness will begin, and the most holy place in the temple will be rededicated, as the prophets have declared. Now listen, it'll be 49 years plus 434 years, from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One comes. Jerusalem's streets and walls shall be rebuilt despite the perilous times. After this period of 434 years, the Anointed One will be killed, his kingdom still unrealized, and a king will arise whose armies will destroy the city and the temple. They will be overwhelmed as with a flood, and war and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. This king will make a 7-year treaty with the people, but after half that time he will break his pledge and stop the Jews from all their sacrifice and their offerings. Then, as a climax to all his terrible deeds, the enemy shall utterly defile the sanctuary of God. But in God's time and plan, his judgment will be poured out on this evil one. Whoa! Let me assure you that those two readings we just did say very different things. And that's the problem with a paraphrase. If you're using a paraphrase as a study, you are receiving not what was originally written, not what Gabriel said to Daniel, but what somebody thinks Gabriel said to Daniel, right? Because they went and interpreted the 70 weeks, which are prophetic and should be calculated as 490 literal years, but they calculated it and made the verse say that. The verse does not say that. The verse says 70 weeks. If you take this verse as it is written, you then have to do the calculation again, because it's a prophetic verse and time and prophecy need to be expanded, right? we went over that in a recent episode. So they have expanded the verse for you and put it up to 490 years. They have made certain conclusions. They came to a conclusion that is not accurate. Verse 27 is very much wrong in the Living Bible as compared to the King James, New King James, and a few others. Okay? So it's important when you're doing a study of prophecy that you not get secondhand information, because that's what you're getting when you get a paraphrase. Someone else is writing what they believe the original one says, and then you're receiving that. You want to study prophecy in particular, but other things too. You want to study prophecy in particular from a version of the Bible that is thought for thought or word for word. Well, thought for thought is just before paraphrase. So you really want it to be closer to word for word. You really want it to be closer for word for word in terms of the type of translation. The resources we provided show you which ones have what kind of translation, and they explain where some of the issues are. Some translations use slightly different manuscripts, and they can come to interesting conclusions that we do not feel are accurate, and this is why we stick to the King James, which is not perfect, because nothing is perfect, but because of the way that God has arranged his scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, multiple witnesses, you can see where things could have been translated better because you see the underlying words, you see the phraseology, you have the means through prayer of understanding how it should be rightly divided. So yeah, the King James has a few places where you're like, that word should have been rendered differently. They chose, of the five words they could have chosen, they chose the worst looking one. You have far less of those problems than you will have with many other translations, especially the ones based on faultier manuscripts. So we encourage you to read that, study the materials, go through the resources, and then you can decide, you can better understand why you're choosing a particular translation for your studies. And you're not limited to one. We use eSword and we cross-reference other translations, but our favorite, the one we lean towards the most, is the King James. Okay, so let's look at our Bible verses. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." So the emphasis here is that Bible study is about seeking and finding and searching and digging, not just reading. Matthew 13:44-46. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Okay, so here we have Jesus providing two parables about the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, and he shows that it is a treasure that you have to dig, you have to find, you have to... It's worth a lot. You have to trade the other things that you have for it. That's the emphasis we want to make as it pertains to Bible study. This is not just about reading the Bible, listening to the Bible, and moving on. This is about digging deep. These principles, if you're just going to read the Bible or have the Bible read to you, as a story or as an audible reading, you may not need to dig into anything. But if you really want to get the purpose of the scriptures, you're definitely going to want to go into it properly, in depth. 2 Kings 22, verse 8. "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." So, what do we have here? It's a shame that the book of the law was lost in the house of the Lord. But if you look at the history of that time, you'll understand that the law of God had for a time been out of the hand of the people because they had been doing idol worship and all sorts of other things. And so now they're cleaning up the house of the Lord and they find the book of the law and they're going to go into it. So it's something that needs to be searched for and found. You don't want to be losing it, but at least they found it. And one of our favorite verses, Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. This was about, again, having the word of God and digging through it so that when new testimony or new instruction is given to you, you compare it against the standard you already have, right? Because we've already established the principle that everything new that you will learn will be built upon the old truths that exist. Okay. Thanks for taking this time to study with us today. We encourage you to prayerfully review the booklet in conjunction with this recording. We thank you for coming with us to the end of this series, and we pray that you will continue to listen to this podcast as we bring other series of Bible studies before you. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for helping us to see that what we study and how we study is important. We thank you for your guidance that helping us understand spiritual things. We pray, Lord, that as our listeners go from here, they will study these resources that we have put there. They'll study additional resources, and they will understand why they are choosing what they're choosing that's appropriate for them to study your word and to come with the right conclusions. When all is said and done, Lord, we want to be saved in your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thanks again for listening in, and if you have any questions, be sure to send them to biblequestions@asbzone.com. And we will do our best by God's grace to provide you with biblical answers to those questions. If you are finding these studies to be a blessing, please let us know all about it, and also share these studies with others. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you study His Word.